Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to When in Romance, Book Riot's podcast for discussing all things in the romance bookish world. I am not Jess. I am Trisha. My lovely, wonderful co-host Jess is out this week. We are swapping vacation days this month. So I am joined by Book Riot's lovely own Jen Northington. You want to say hi, Jen?
Hi! I always love coming on to When in Romance. It's so fun.
And we are delighted to have you. We are recording a little early. So we're recording on August 10th. So if anything exciting happens in like the next 11 days, that's not our fault.
No. And you can blame me entirely because I'm going camping next week. And I was like, Trisha, I would love to be the guest on the show. However, can we record like super early? So here we are.
I feel like, I mean, knock on wood, I feel like Jess did the hero's work of covering the major romance scandal of the month last episode. So,
oh my goodness. I like am so relieved not to have to talk about that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, same. Yeah, we are speaking, of course, of the hockey romance Kraken nightmare.
Jeez.
And as someone who wrote a piece for Book Riot about how everything I know about hockey I learned from romance, specifically about a Kraken game, I was like, well, good thing I didn't mention a single hockey player because I do not know any of their names. So,
well, I think that just proves there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Like right there.
Yes.
There you go.
See? Thank you. See, this is why we love having Jen on the show. So much validation.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, we are so happy to have you. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, some things that I think you are uniquely able to talk about. But one of the things that Jess and I always start with, Jen, is a little check-in on what we're reading. What are you reading these days?
Yeah, I'm like for once in my life reading an actual, like it's a physical book that
wow.
I got. I know. I mean, something bananas, like 90% of my reading is digital these days between the library and digital ARCs. But I went to Asheville to see Book Riot's own Sharifa Williams. And we went to the bookstore because of course we did. And
obviously.
I saw a book by a favorite author of mine that I didn't even know existed, which is like literally what I want when I walk into a bookstore is for them to surprise me. So I grabbed Maroons by Adrienne Marie Brown, which is this like post-plague, fabulist, queer ghost story. I don't even know. Like I'm halfway through it and I could not predict to you what is going to happen next. It is so well written, which is not a surprise. Brown is an amazing writer. It's so well envisioned. It all takes place in Detroit. So if you have like any Detroit connections, it's super neighborhood focused. And it does have this like very complicated, like super hashtag complicated queer romantic subplot going on that I also am like, what's going to happen? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm extremely enjoying it. What about you?
You know, it's funny that you mention a book by an author that you love that you didn't know existed because I am reading A Walk in the Park by Rebecca Weatherspoon, who is an author I love. And she just had a YA book come out, but I did not realize that she had, well, so she wrote this book. It's a novella. It came out as an Audible original like a year ago. This keeps happening to me.
Yes.
Where I find that like, romance authors I love wrote Audible originals that were recorded as Audibles a year ago and then now are available in quote-unquote print, digital print.
Yeah.
And so I saw it pop up. I think it just came out on digital like maybe the end of July. So I saw her tweet about it, bought it immediately, of course. Because one of the things that Jess and I have talked about is that a lot of the romance authors that we love have not had anything new come out for adults in the last 6 to 12 to 18 months. And so I was so excited to see that There was a new adult romance from Rebecca Weatherspoon. It's so funny. It's about, like, the premise of it is so bizarre. It's that these two people independently have never met each other. They're both planning on adopting a dog. Some disgruntled employee at the shelter has, like, signed multiple people up to adopt the same animals. So there are, like, six people that have been told that they could have, you know, Sparky. And there are, like, four people who have been told that they can have this cat. And so Zeus, this one dog, has been promised to two different people, Andre and Janelle.
There's only one dog.
Exactly. Sorry, yes. Sorry. That's exactly what it is. And so as happens when there's only one bed, they decide to share.
Of course.
Because Andre and Janelle are both going through a tough time. They both feel like they should have this dog. So I'm only maybe like 20-25% of the way through it. And it's a novella, so it's a quick read. But so far, it is lovely and charming. And I am very excited to get back to it later this afternoon, probably.
I'm going to have to get that. This also renews my request that I made in the, like, Book Riot Romance channel in Slack forever ago. I was like, I want, like, all of the variations on There's Only One. Like, I personally have talked about There's Only One Mechanic. Now we're talking about There's Only One Dog. Like, There's Only One Horse is a thing sometimes. Like, it's not just beds. There's Only One X. Like, give me all of the There's Only One.
There's Only One Dilapidated Castle.
Right, that's right.
There's so many options. So many options.
There's so many options. I just love it.
Well, I think that is a wonderful start to the podcast. We will continue with this momentum in just a second. We're going to stop and do a quick break. All right, a couple of quick announcements before we get into the, like, just the very heart of the episode. The first is that The Perfect Find is our next book club and adaptation book. So this is very exciting. We have The Perfect Find, the book by Tia Williams, is out there. Get it from your library. Do whatever you like. But they have also made it into a movie on Netflix, so you can watch it and read it. We're going to discuss both at the end of September, possibly early October. So you got a little bit of time, partly because Jess and I are not on the same episode for like 2 months. So we're going to get together. We're going to have a conversation. We are super excited about it. The links are in the show notes. And the other announcement is just a reminder of TBR. If you would like to escape the dog days of summer with perfect book recommendations, let Tailored Book Recommendations pick awesome books to keep you entertained. You can touch grass, grab some lemonade, and enjoy TBR's picks. It is great for readers of all stripes. There are plans for all budgets. That's right, every single budget out there. There's an option for you. You can visit mytbr.co to sign up today. It only takes a few minutes. That's mytbr.co. And Jen, you are one of the driving forces behind that. Is that right?
I do help manage it, and I do some bibliologisting. Don't tell anybody. So it's super fun because so much of my job is just like spreadsheets at this point in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So getting to pick out like the perfect books for somebody who wants, you know, whatever they're looking for. It's funny, too, because Jamie will assign me like these kind of, she knows my wheelhouse is really what Jamie Canavese, who's writes our Unusual Suspects newsletter. She's so good at this. She'll give me like the people who are like, I would like hyper-specific business nonfiction. And I'm like, crack knuckles, I got you. And then she'll give me like, the people who are like, I just want like escape. And I'm like, I also have you. Like my wheelhouses are many and varied and she knows them very well. So she does a great job of matching up the readers to the bibliologists.
Well, and just as an observer, it's so funny to see someone jump into the Book Riot Slack and be like, okay, everybody, I need a dystopian hard science romance featuring at least one queer relationship, and someone has to have a monkey.
Yes, yes.
And then so everybody will be like, let's all work together and make this happen.
There's definitely some hive minding of those recs going on because truly some people want very specific things. And sometimes those books don't exist, but you want to like make sure they don't actually exist before you tell somebody it doesn't exist. So, yeah, it's helpful to have the hive mind available for those moments.
And I feel like people are great at figuring out the vibe. Like, what is the vibe somebody's going for? So,
because it usually is vibes, really, that somebody's looking for.
Yeah. So everybody check out mytbr.co. You'll be glad you did. You can be part of this wonderful journey that people like Jen are on.
Please don't ask for that many specifics. That makes it really hard to recommend you books.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. Yeah, you'll be deep in the vibes if that's the case. So, Jen, I wanted to take advantage of having you join us on the podcast and talk a little bit about anthologies, because anthologies are a big deal in romance. There's a lot of anthologies of romance novellas that we've seen. Like, it's just a fairly common thing. I'm going to talk about a book later that started as a part of an anthology. And anthologies are a little thing that you are actually quite familiar with, having edited two of them. One of them, most recently, Fit for the Gods, just came out within the last few weeks, right?
Yeah, it did. It came out on August 1st, which feels absolutely wild. I started working on that one before Swordstone Table was even out. It turns out I was checking my emails and I was like, what was 2021 Jen doing? But it did happen that way. I love anthologies. I love reading them. I love curating them. I honestly don't care what kind of anthology it is, like nonfiction, fiction, romance, sci-fi, like whatever. I just think they're amazing, which it always makes me sad because people are like, oh, you know, anthologies don't sell. Like, people don't want anthologies. Like, it's very rare that an anthology is going to hit the bestseller list. And I'm always like, but why? Like, what's wrong with all of you?
Yeah.
That you don't want this?
Yeah. You have so many chances to find something that you, like, love. Is it your love of anthologies that made you decide that you wanted to, like, jump into editing them? How did that come to be?
Yeah, so it was a combination of things. It was definitely, like, I just love them so much. I can't get enough of them. And I have, like, you know, been obsessed with anthologies for a long time. But it also was, like, I wasn't seeing stories that I wanted to see. And I was, like, it's so obvious that somebody should be writing these stories. Like, for Swordstone Table, it was, you know, like, gender-bent, queer, race-bent, etc., inclusive King Arthur. I'm like, there's so much right there. Like, what if Mordred was a girl, for example? Like, that's why Mordred can't inherit. Mordred's a girl. Or, like, anything. Like, Lancelot and King Arthur is, like, right there. It's, like, right there. So there's so much that just seems so obvious. And I just wasn't seeing as many stories as I wanted. Of course, by the time the book came out, I was not the only one having this thought. So we got, like, a slew of Arthurian retellings in 2021, which I could not have been happier about. Like, there's always more room, as far as I'm concerned, for retellings, especially if we're getting them from people who don't normally get to tell those stories, right? Like, writers who have been marginalized or underrepresented, like, getting their stab at these retellings is, like, what I live for. But so it was very much like, you know, I don't write the stories I want to read. I ask other people to write them.
Sure. Yeah. That would be my strategy as well. Good call.
Right. Like, I don't want to write it. I just want you to write it for me so I can read it. That's what I want. And it turns out people will if you ask them sometimes.
And I want to ask you a little bit about that, because I will say I love Swordstone Table. I read, I think, probably half the stories in that one. I will be honest, I was just not that familiar with King Arthur. So it still was very accessible to me, but I'm even more excited about Fit for the Gods because it's Greek mythology, which I'm just a lot more familiar with. And you've got authors that we love here on When in Romance, actually.
Yes.
How do you reach out to Alyssa Cole and get her to write a story for you?
Well, Alyssa Cole this is going to sound like a brag, but I have known Alyssa Cole for a very long time, actually.
Aw.
She used to run a book club out of a romance book club out of a bookstore I worked for. And we met that way and, like, friended each other. So I actually have known her for a long time and count her as a friend. I'm an extremely lucky person. This is what I will tell you. If you want to make friends with authors, getting a bookstore event job is the way to do it. It will also destroy your health and your brain, but you will meet a lot of people. So it's just a trade-off, right? Like, how long can you do it and how many authors can you meet in the time that you do it? Meeting Alyssa at that point before she was super famous and, you know, Stephen King was, like, tweeting about her was serendipitous, because it does mean that now I can be like, I can send her an email and I know she's going to read it. She might not say yes, but she's going to read it.
Sure.
And she did say yes, which was amazing. So, yeah, that was super exciting. So, Leika Snyder actually came in through the open call, which I wasn't expecting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which was super cool. Yeah. So we did ask some people And then we did an open call. And so we got people like that way. So Zoraida Cordova, who people on this podcast should know, we asked specifically.
Yeah, you might know her as Zoe Castile.
Yeah, Zoe Castile. Yeah, yeah. And Zuleika, right, came in through the open call. I feel like Mia P. Manansala is romance adjacent. She's got a lot of romantic subplots in her cozies. They're super good. And then, yeah, obviously Alyssa is like a big deal. But we did that in Stone Table too. You know, Sarah McLean said yes to us and wrote about a blacksmith warrior lady, which was awesome. You can actually get that story on its own now if like you were only interested in Sarah McLean retelling King Arthur. I just saw on Instagram she's got it packaged as a standalone.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, but obviously, like, I encourage you to read the
whole course.
Thing. But I, this was the other thing that as I do get a little frustrated about with anthologies is so often they are one genre. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll be sci-fi or it'll be fantasy or it'll be nonfiction essays. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I read across all genres and I know I'm not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being nervous and talking to our agent, like, will like publishers do this? Because, you know, publishers rely really heavily on category marketing.
Sure.
And if your book doesn't fit into any one category, sometimes they're like, pass.
Mm-hmm.
But we got lucky. We got lucky that our editor saw the vision and convinced marketing, I guess.
So how did that work? Do you have a editor and then a publisher and then you get the stories? Or do you have the stories and kind of take them whole cloth?
Yeah, yeah. So the way you have to do it is you have to get an agent if you don't already have one. So you have to put together an agent proposal, and you might have stories at that point. You might not. Depending on the agent, they might take you. They might not, with or without the stories. But you have to do the whole proposal agent query thing. And then your agent takes your proposal, and you have to have, for an anthology, you have to have 3 to 5 stories already written.
Okay.
And if you, like me, are not a writer, that means you have to go find people and be like, hi, I can't pay you yet, and I may never be able to pay you.
Right.
Will you write me this story so I can try to sell this book?
Yeah.
Which is nerve-wracking, let me tell you. Like, going to authors you respect, admire, and be like, hi, do you want to work for me for free?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, I promise I'll pay you someday. Like, I really hope to be able to pay you. I don't know how much, because who knows how much this book will sell for. Like, that is extremely nerve-wracking. Takes a lot of, like, hold your breath and hit send.
Sure.
Kind of moments. But I got really lucky. People said yes. And so then you have 3 to 5 stories. You package that up with the proposal and your agent like sends it out to editors they think might bite.
Okay.
And then hopefully a publisher says yes.
And then when you, so like how much, if you are reaching out to an author or when you ask folks to come in through kind of an open call, did you ask them to send a full story or like a pitch?
Yeah. So the open call was post us selling the book because I didn't want to like, I didn't want to ask the entire internet to write me a story without being sure I could pay them for it.
That's fair.
Like, I'm willing to ask 3 writers who understand the deal,
mm-hmm.
but like the whole internet, no, I'm not willing to do that. So we sold the book and then we continued to query, you know, specific authors that we wanted to work with. Some of whom said yes, some of whom said no, like got plenty of no's, totally normal and fine. And then, but we knew we also wanted to do an open call because we were hoping specifically to get to some people who like, we wouldn't know to ask them whether they're new to us or we just didn't, it just didn't occur to us that they would like to write one of these.
Yeah.
And which is exactly what happened. We got people who like were names who just like saw it and were like, oh yeah, I want to write that. And then we got people who, you know, had not been published or had only been published in like very small independent places or, you know, whatever. And so then you go through those. And those are whole stories. Those are whole stories. I mean, we specifically asked for whole stories for those.
Mm-hmm.
And then you weed through them and you try to like figure out what combination of them is going to make the anthology.
Mm-hmm. It would be so hard for me to tell people no. Was that like...
It's brutal. It's excruciating. Especially because we could have done like 5 anthologies with all of the stories we got. We got 500-ish submissions.
Oh my gosh.
And one or the other of us read all of them. Like Sharif and I did this together and one or the other of us read, like we split it in half and we read all of them. Or at least most of all of them. We might have gotten only 3/4 of the way through a story before realizing it wasn't the right story for us. But like still, we read them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, narrowing it down to our each top picks. And then we had to fight over those top picks to see how many we could get in. Because you also have to consider, like, a publisher, generally speaking, needs a bunch of names, like capital N names, yeah, to sell, yeah, a book, mm-hmm, right? For the marketing copy. Like, so if you don't have Alyssa Cole, who's, mm-hmm, going to buy your book? So, and you have to have enough of those names to appeal to enough people that marketing will sign off on it. So we could only have so many new or, you know, undiscovered writers. So it was hard because there were so many more stories that I wanted to take, but we just couldn't. We just couldn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's and there were some stories that I was like, this is amazing. I am not the right editor for this story. Like, yeah, we're just not the, sure, right editor. This is not the right collection for this one. Like, this is a great story. And some of those I sent people like, hey, I hope you'll send this out to other places because I think it's ready to go. It's just not ready to go for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but for the most part, you know, we couldn't, literally could not respond to every single one of those people. So we only responded to the people who we took their stories, or who, there were like a handful that I was like, I just regret deeply that I cannot take this story and I really hope you'll send it out other places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would, I know, that might even be like just the,
it's hard.
It's so hard. I don't know if I could do it. I might never be able to edit an anthology. Yeah. Now I just know that about myself and that's fine. You and Jess.
There's a lot of spreadsheeting too. Yeah, yes. I know. I was just thinking about Jess's anthology. So, right, she curated and edited Black Love Matters, which is, mm-hmm, I mean, I love this anthology too. It is so, I love reading thoughtful, nuanced, like loving takes on genre, yes, fiction that like, yeah, get into the like how and why they work. And Black Love, mm-hmm, Matters does that so well. And there's so many, there's like several of those essays that like literally blew the top off of my head. Like I was like, oh my, mm-hmm, gosh, I suddenly understand some things.
Same.
Which was really cool. But I was like, how did Jess do this one? Like I can only imagine she leveraged her connections and like did a lot of them on request, but like did she do an open call? I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, like how did she put it together? One of these days, I'm going to make her tell me.
I was going to say, you have the wrong host in the chair today to be able to answer those questions, but maybe we will follow, yeah, up with Jess next time around and get some answers.
Yeah, yeah.
So last question, I don't know if you're allowed to even say, so obviously don't say anything you can't say, but if you were going to go for number three, is there anything in the pipeline? Is there anything that is on your mind that you would love to see an anthology about? Or is there anything that you would love to see an anthology of that you probably won't do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really loving, there's a lot of these in YA there where authors, mm-hmm, from specific communities are getting together to tell their stories. And like, I'm thinking of 1001 Nights, which is all Asian, Southeast Asian, East Asian, ghosty, and like other just like fairy tale and mythology retellings. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I don't see as many of those in adult sci-fi and fantasy, and I don't really understand why. So, like, those that are, like, let's call it vibes-based anthologies, YA gets a ton of them, adult does not, and I don't understand. Romance, I think, is super good at this, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, I'm thinking of Amour, actually, which I adore, I own,
yes,
and, like, reread every holiday season at this point, mm-hmm, because that's all, you know, holiday vibes,
yeah,
and I thought it was so good. And it really does fix so many of the things that are wrong with Love, actually.
Yeah. And the Hamilton Battalion trio.
Yes, that Hamilton's
came out,
Battalion.
Speaking,
yes,
of Alyssa Cole.
Exactly.
With her and Courtney, yes, Milan, and I believe Rose Lerner was the third author on that.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. So, like, I think romance has figured this out, right? Like, romance, mm-hmm, like so many things, romance has figured it out, and the rest of us are just trying to catch up. So, I wish that there were more of those kinds of things. It's not that they don't exist in sci-fi fantasy, there's just not as many of them.
Mm-hmm.
I want more. I always want more. I always want more. I am plotting my third one, though. I will do this for as long as people will say yes to me and publishers will publish it. Like, I will do this for as long as other people let me, because I love the process of, like, co-editing, mm-hmm, is really amazing. Like, getting those two brains together and figuring out what's going to make sense and what's,
yeah,
going to work. And I love it when people write stories for me. And then I love, like, getting, you know, to see their names. Like, the book exists in the world now. That's,
yeah,
just the coolest feeling. So, but I can't tell you the topics because I'm,
okay,
still trying to figure it out.
That's fair.
One day, hopefully, we'll be able to announce number three.
And I will say, speaking of the book existing in the world, the cover is rad. So
it's so good, right?
Yeah, everyone,
yes,
to take a quick, yeah, look at that and then order the book, obviously.
It's beautiful.
It's super cool.
And there's romance in it.
Yes, exactly. And Swordstone Table. So. Actually, I will link to both so that folks can take a look and, you know, decide what they want to do.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for letting me pick your brain about that. We have actually another topic that you suggested, but before we get to it,
yes,
we're going to take another break. All right, Jen, this topic was your idea, I think largely because of a book that you happened to be reading at the time. Can you introduce folks to our next topic?
Yes. So when I knew that I was going to come on the show, I happened to be tearing my way through Shelley Laurenston's Honey Badger Chronicles. Like, I was like compulsively borrowing and reading them from the library. Like, I just could not stop. I would like sit down and be like, I'm going to read 10 minutes. And then like half an hour later, I was like, I guess I should go back to work now. Mm-hmm. Like, what is happening to me? And I realized that I had been really struggling to read prior to that point for all kinds of reasons. Summer is a slump season for me. I just, like, I'll have like 3 weeks of enjoying wearing short sleeves and then I just want the heat to stop. I'm not a summer person.
Same.
So, and my brain just turns off if there's too much heat for too long. It just doesn't work. So I was really struggling to read earlier this summer and I don't even remember how I ended up picking this up. Like, I literally don't know how the first book in the series made its way onto my e-reader from the library, but it did. And like the next thing I knew, I was able to read like whatever again. Like, I was reading Shelley Laurenston, but I was also able to read a bunch of other things. And I remembered that, like, yeah, sometimes one book or one series is all it takes to bust you out of a reading slump. Like, you just need those neurons to fire again or something. Science. Put science there.
Yeah. Let's assume it's science. And I have to tell you,
it's science.
You will appreciate this, having read those books recently. I read the first book or two at the very beginning of the pandemic, like March or April of 2020. And I remember a scene where they're having a barbecue and all of these shifters are there. And so they need like 90 steaks and like 17 chickens and whatever. And I don't know how well folks remember that era of time, but it was actually very difficult to get a lot of meat in grocery stores. I remember thinking to myself, where on earth are they getting all of this meat? It's a pandemic. And then remembering that books are not real life. And in fact, this book was published significantly before the pandemic. But yeah, it is funny how like you can remember a point in time with a particular book. And that is my point in time with the Honey Badgers.
Yeah, I really kind of wish, I mean, I don't wish it because then they wouldn't have broken me out of my reading slump this summer, but I do wish I could go back in time and give them to like March 2020, Jen, because I think it would have really, I was in a desperate, I mean, I think a lot of us were in a desperate reading slump during the pandemic too. Like, sometimes things just get really hard and your brain breaks.
Yeah.
So I was like, what if we did reading slumps and I will think of books other than the Honey Badger Chronicles to talk about? And you fortunately said yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying yes. Because I did not have any other ideas for this show.
Well, and we obviously, of course, would have found something. But I will tell you what. I have had more trouble with reading slumps, even not so much 2020, but just in the last year or two, than I have ever had before. And I think I've come up with some strategies to help get myself out of it. Although more often than not, it sort of happens accidentally, like it sounds like happened with you.
Yeah. Yes.
But I will, when I'm in a reading slump, what I will often do is go back and reread stuff that I know. Are you a rereader?
I am.
Yeah. Jess is not. It is one of the few things that we are on opposite sides of in the romance world. But I think that is one thing that works for me. Another thing that tends to work for me is finding like an expansive world of character, like a dynasty, like something that you can drop into and plan to stay for a while. So, for example, we've talked about the Blessings series by Beverly Jenkins before. It's her modern day series. The first book in the series is Bring On the Blessings. It's about, I don't know if you've read these, Jen.
I read the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. And they are like, they're a little bit zany. Like, there's a little bit of, like, you have to, they're not super realistic fiction. There's like a lot of humor in them. It's, the premise is that this woman, Bernadine, on her 52nd birthday, finds that her husband is cheating on her. He is very, very rich. And so as a result of the divorce, she gets very, very rich and buys a town and decides to use the town to adopt some children out of, you know, the child welfare system, to pair them with parents that she's also bringing to the town. She's like building a school, building all these houses. She ends up with $275 million. So she has a lot of potential. And the series at this point is probably like 10, 11, maybe even 12 books long. So that's actually another one that I read summer of 2020 and just like fell into it and had read the first 10 books in probably 2 weeks. Like it was just that kind of a thing. I will say the series is more romance adjacent than romance. Mm. There are romantic storylines in pretty much all of the books, but some of them kind of come back and forth over the course of the series. Some of them kind of wax and wane, and they're generally, with the exception of maybe a couple of them, including the first, they're not generally like the focus of the book. So know that going in, but like that is one of the worlds that I have fallen into. And then another one that I have just discovered is the Wallflowers and Ravenel world of Lisa Kleypas. I had never read anything by Lisa Kleypas. I tend to be a person who reads historical fiction like every 18 months to 2 years. And then I read nothing but historical romance for like 4 months. And then I don't read it again for like 2 years. And I'm in a moment, Jen, of reading historical romance. So I had always heard great things about Lisa Kleypas' books. So I started with Secrets of a Summer Night. I would say that's where you want to start. It's the first in a series of four books about four young women who are all wallflowers. And they, for various reasons, cannot find a match, cannot find a husband, decide to help each other out. And the first woman in the series is Annabelle, who's, she has a title, but no money. And so she has a businessman who has no title, but a ton of money, who wants her to be his mistress. And then, you know, they go back and forth, you know, things ensue. And it ends up being obviously a very fun story. It's a very fun series. But the best part about it is that 30 years later in the timeline, there is a new series that kind of revisits some of these characters, revisits some of the, like the children of the original four characters are now the main characters in the Ravenel series. Cold Hearted Rake is the first book in that series. So like I said, it's just, it's been nice to be able to start into a series and know that not only is the series mostly completed, but there's like 11 books that you can read. So if you connect with it, you can hang out there for a really long time. And that's, for me, one of my favorite things in romance. And for me, a really helpful thing to breaking a slump. Because if you can get started on the road, then you can wander down it for a while.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, the Honey Badger Chronicles, I was saying, like, I was compulsively getting the next one and then the next one and then the next one. Mm-hmm. And speaking of not realistic, y'all, like, I was trying to explain the plot line of the first one, Hot and Badger, to somebody, and I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, it actually doesn't matter. Like, it's three sisters. They're all badger shapeshifters. There is like black ops and like basketball games and hockey and malls and barbecues and, you know, explosions and FBI and like money laundering. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And you're just there for the ride.
Isn't the first one in that series the one that opens with like a woman falling naked through like a glass hotel room door or ceiling? So
yes, in fact it is. And you're like, there's nothing realistic. I mean, even though it's already not realism because it's shifters, right? It's like shapeshifters. But it's like, it takes it to the nth degree, and that's what I love about them. They're absurd, and they're so satisfying in their absurdity. Like, it's just so much fun to fall down that rabbit hole. And I will say, it's not a complete series, I don't think, which makes me really happy, because the most recent one just came out in 2023. So like, more are being added, and I will be reading these until Laurenston stops writing them. Like, I will read these forever.
But there's like five, right?
There's five. I'm probably going to buy all of them so that they can be part of my Reading Slump reread
library,
honestly. So yes, a big cosign for series. The one thing that happens to me with series, which leads me to my next recommendation, is that they often tend to be one specific kind of romantic pairing, right? Like Honey Badger Chronicles, at least all of the ones I've read are male-female. And so you don't always get, you know, diversity of pairings in a series.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I love about The Witches of Thistle Grove by Lana Harper. I mean, it's witches. So like right there, it's cozy. It's witchy. Like, what more do you need to break a reading slump? I don't know. And each pairing, each romantic pairing is different. So the first one is female-female. The second one is male-female. And then the third one has a non-binary love interest. I mean, it's just like, and these are ongoing too. There's four. The most recent one was published this year. And I just love, like, it's a small town, so you get that going for it. But there's like real stuff going on here too. Like, they're dealing with trauma. They're dealing with who do I want to be in this world, and also magic. So it gives me everything that I want. It gives me everything that I want.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I will say one of the things that has worked for me. So actually, surprise, I just took a quick look. Despite the fact that last episode was all about witches, they did not mention the Lana Harper series, as far as I can tell from the show notes. I've only listened to about half of it. So you have added on. This is like the continuity, the bridge from last episode to this one. Yeah, so bonus rec. Everybody, like, think back to last episode. And you got it all. It's funny that you mentioned, like, things that you like and that you're looking for. It sounds so stupid, but another thing that I sometimes try to do to break a reading slump is read something I like, which is to say, like, I am very much a plot person. I am, like, the characters are fine. I need to have them have some kind of growth and some kind of development, but I am much more likely to enjoy a book if there is, like, some kind of fairly major secondary plot going on, right? Like, I think a lot of people really loved the newest Kate Claiborne book, Georgie All Along, and I really enjoyed it too, but it felt like there wasn't a ton happening. And so when I was trying to figure out why everybody else loved it a little more than I did, I think that's what it was. It's a great book. I totally recommend it. But I am more likely to be like, okay, what's the mystery? What are we trying to do?
Right.
Like, where is the, you know, black ops, like you were saying, like, what's going on here? And so one of the books, and also, again, I try to look for authors that have a backlist, because there's nothing worse than finishing a book and being like, oh, this is the only thing this author has ever written. I'm super excited about them, and this is their only book. So I would recommend a book, for me, like Think of England works really well, because it is a romance. Mm-hmm. It's a great romance. It's not super long, but there's like conspiracy and like crimes and people dealing with grief. And it's essentially about it takes place in the early 1900s. A veteran has been a victim of a really terrible military accident. He lost friends, and he's trying to figure out if it was actually an accident or if maybe they were set up. And so trying to figure that out, ends up in this country house with these people who he thinks might have been involved. He ends up in a compromising situation with someone else who is also trying to figure out what went wrong. And it is actually better for the people in the house to think that the two of them are lovers than for them to understand that both of these people are trying to figure out whether there was sabotage. So it's a great romance, and there's a lot of emotion in it. But there's also like this secondary storyline, and there's a lot going on. And KJ Charles has written a bunch of books. So I'm just saying, if you're trying to break a slump, you might want to think of England by KJ Charles.
I hear you. I'm more of a character person that, like, I prefer both. But if I can, if one is going to lean in one direction or the other, I really much prefer good, like, solid characters who I can be like, oh, I have so many feelings about you. So, like, I loved Georgie All Along, and it didn't even occur to me until you started talking about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see how there's not actually a lot of plot there. Mm-hmm. Like, there's really not that much plot. It's all personal development for the most part. There's no actual external, like, conflicts going on.
Yeah.
And so, it's funny. I'm thinking about this now, because now you've made me think about it. And I do think, I know that pacing is super important to me when I'm in a reading slump. Like, if something is dragging, whether it's like a character feels stuck in a character development rut and they're not making any progress, or the plot isn't going anywhere, I can't. If, like, especially if I'm in a reading slump, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out. You have lost me.
Yeah.
So as long as things are moving, it's in some way I will hang. But if it takes too long to get to whatever's next, whether it's character or plot, I am out.
Yeah.
I'm out. So that's you can't tell until you start reading the book.
Yeah.
Like, I can know a book has like some of my favorite tropes, but until I get in there, I don't know what the author thinks of pacing and if their preferences match mine.
Yeah.
So that can be tricky. Yeah, that's interesting to think about, though. I have another series here that, like, and is by different people, which is kind of like an anthology, actually.
Ooh.
Now that I'm thinking about this, it's kind of like an anthology because they're all doing the same thing, but in their own way. So it's the Meant to Be series, which started with Julie Murphy's If the Shoe Fits, which is a contemporary...
Oh, yeah.
Like rom-com Cinderella, right? And then book two was by the book, which is Beauty and the Beast, done by Jasmine Guillory, which is, you know, excellent and takes place in like publishing in New York. So obviously I'm like, yep,
mm-hmm.
done. And then the newest one just came out. It's Kiss the Girl, perfectly timed
yes.
for Disney's air, right? The Little Mermaid
yes.
by Zoraida Cordova, who you might know as Zoe Castile. And I'm so excited for that one to come, and I'm waiting for my copy to get here, but I'm so excited about it because it's like, again, it's vibes. Like, they're all doing contemporary rom-com-y type rewrites of different fairy tales. So like, I know that I like the thing that they're all doing, but I get different versions of that thing because they write differently,
yeah.
right? They have different styles. They have different ways of developing their characters. Like, they have different heat levels,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's just, I just love that you can have that kind of thing in one series. I just wish there were more than three. I wish there were more than three.
Yeah. And there's not a ton of that type of series, I feel like, in
right?
romance. If folks have ideas or suggestions, definitely send them on. But, and there are a few, there are a handful, but it's, yeah, not super common to have a series like that of different authors outside of an anthology.
Yeah. I can't honestly think of a series in another genre that does
mm-hmm.
this. Really, I can't think of another series that does this. I want more of it,
yeah.
though. Please, like, please, publishing, can I have more?
Same. And my sense from you, Jen, is that you are a person who can put down a book if you're not into it. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like a lot of people have trouble with that. I would encourage you, if you are in a reading slump, to give it another try. Like, download something from the library, download a sample of something, etc.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And if you don't like it, just don't continue. But if you really, really can't do that, I also sometimes recommend breaking a reading slump by reading something short, because that way you haven't put too
right.
much time in. And we've talked about a bunch of different novellas on the series, on the podcast. We talked about anthologies even today, but a couple that you might check out are Mrs. Martin's Incomparable Adventure by Courtney Milan. That is one that features two, I would say, more mature characters. One of the women is in her early 70s. The other is, I believe, 69. So they are older than we often see in romance, which is kind of a fun thing. And also, they are trying to get revenge, and it is very satisfying. Plus, Courtney Milan has a huge backlist. So again, if you find that you're into it, you got other options. The other just quick recommendation that I will make, partly because you are on with us today, Jen, is a book called The Heart is a Universe. Have you read this by Sherry Thomas?
I love Sherry Thomas, and I can't remember. I'm going to have to check it.
It's entirely possible that you haven't, because it's pretty different. It's sci-fi fantasy. I think sci-fi. I am very bad at which is which, but I'm pretty sure this is sci-fi.
That's okay.
It takes place on a remote planet, and it's a novella. It's a fairly 32,000 words, so I guess that would be, 134 pages. I read it in one sitting. It was originally part of an anthology, actually, where you had to guess who was the author. There were like six stories and six authors, and you had to guess who had done which. And eventually they revealed who had done what. So now this book, The Heart is a Universe, is published separately. It's about this remote planet where they, I think, assign early on, like as a child or even a baby or toddler, someone to eventually grow up and be like a human sacrifice for the planet. And so it features this woman, Vitalis, who is about to be sacrificed. She has been the chosen one. She has known that about herself for a long time. She really doesn't want to do it. And she meets this prince who has dealt with chronic illness, and he wants to marry her before she sacrifices herself. They get together, feelings happen. I found it really interesting. It was unlike anything that I had read, at least in a really long time. I will say the ending happens very quickly. Like, if you need a lot of time tying up loose ends, this one may not be for you. But it is a fun little sci-fi romance. It is very different from a lot of other romance. So, yeah, might be worth taking a look at to break your reading slump.
Nice. I love Sherry Thomas. She's one of those authors who can hop genres like nobody's business. Like, she's written historical, she's written, you know, wuxia, she's written fantasy, yeah. She's written sci-fi, she's written, like, well, she can write whatever she wants. And it's good, which is amazing and also infuriating. Yes. One day she'll write a story for me. One day.
Someday.
One day. Just got to talk her into it. Okay, so let's see. Oh, right. I was thinking about what else helps me with a slump, and I was thinking about, like, when a story gives me sort of multiple sensory experiences, which sounds like a weird thing to say about a book, because truly you're just getting, like, you're reading it. But I was thinking about a book that broke a reading slump for me last year, which is The Girl with Stars in Her Eyes by Zoe Axelrod, which is the first in the Lily series. The next one comes out next year, which I'm excited about. But it really does feel like a standalone at this point. So, like, treat it that way, I guess. But it's because the main character is in a band. She's a musician and she's, like, you know, not making it. Like, she's, you know, she's playing dive bars, like, she's got her guitar, like, she's her mother wasn't a musician, but she's just, like, she's not really doing much. And then she gets the chance to be a backup musician for this, like, band that's, like, hitting all of the, you know, it's, like, it's their big moment, and they need some musicians. And so she auditions, and it turns out that her, like, high school crush, who disappeared one day and, like, never told her what was up, and they had held this whole plan to escape together, he is their manager, of course. So you get this great second chance romance, but you also get this, like, very multimedia reading experience, because there's, like, Axelrod pays such attention to the music part of it that you feel like you can hear it. Yeah. And there's a playlist. Like, Axelrod is also a musician. So, like, when I read this book, I had all of these things going on, and it helped me so much. I mean, it doesn't hurt that this book is, like, excellent. Yeah. But I think also, like, the multiple sort of touch points was really helpful for me.
I love that book. And yes! I don't want to disappoint you, but I think the next one in the series, I think it was a book that I picked for most anticipated of 2022. It has gotten pushed a few times.
No!
And of course, no author owes us anything, as we always talk about on the show.
No.
But we might be waiting a little while for that next story.
I mean, I did say if you treat it like a standalone, it's probably for the best. And I meant it. It really does stand alone quite nicely.
It's wonderful.
It's so good. So, it's hard to be satisfied when you know there could be more. But, like, if you can just pretend you don't know that.
Anything else you want to mention before we let people go forth?
Oh, yes. One more. So you talked about historicals, which I also think are super helpful because obviously I don't live in Regency, whatever. So, you know, it is an escape, quote unquote, for me for the most part. It's nothing to do with my daily life, which is also super important to me when I'm in a slump. Like, sometimes I need catharsis and something that, like, feels like it sees me where I am. But mostly I just want to get out of whatever is going on in my head.
Sure.
And so escapism is, you know, the way I want to go. And I do love historicals. Although they are, I go through phases too, Trisha. Mine is not quite as predictable as yours, but I definitely, like, hop around between romantic subgenres. But when I was thinking about books that I would recommend to people for historicals that will help you break a slump, and I was trying not to, like, go with the, you know, usual suspects, I remembered A Summer for Scandal, which also is kind of like a Pride and Prejudice retelling by Lydia San Andres. It's so good. It's so good. It, like, it opens, I think, with this woman, like, tossing this guy out of a boat because he insults her writing without realizing it. Amelia writes stories, like a very, like, sexy romantic serial under a pseudonym. And this is in the, like, you know, the historical times. I can't remember exactly which time period, but it's, you know, she's wearing, like, a bustle and stuff. And Ruben, who she tosses out of the boat, is a critic and also a writer who is very literary and is very, like, aggressively cruel in his reviews that he writes of other people's works. And so he's, like, totally panned her stuff and does not know that that it's her. And, you know, of course they fall in love, of course. But it's so satisfying. And it's set in the Caribbean, which is like perfect, yeah. right? Like I get a new location for me and I get a retelling of a story that I love and I get an even better story out of it. So yeah, super, super recommend Summer for Scandal by Lydia San Andres.
Well, I love that book as well. And I have to say, Jen, if everybody who is listening to this cannot break a reading slump at this point, given all of these recommendations, there may be no choice. Right. You might just have to switch over to movies for a while, watch some documentaries or something.
Truly. Yeah. Read a graphic novel, yeah. maybe? Like, try something super different. Yeah, and then come back. But yes.
I can recommend a couple of TV series that I've really enjoyed lately. So, you know, we'll see. But mm-hmm. yeah, well, I am so excited that we got to talk about all of this. We crammed a lot in to this episode,
we did.
But it was a delight. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I always love coming on the show. It's so much fun.
Well, we will have you back again soon. Hopefully we don't have to wait until your third anthology is out. But if we do, that's fine. a huge thanks to our other favorite Jen, our audio editor, Jen Zink, who is wonderful. Mm-hmm. If anyone has thoughts, questions, anything, you can find us on email and social media. We give you those links every single time, but they will also be in the show notes. Jen, I will get any contact information that you are interested in sharing and stick that in the show notes as well so people can mm-hmm. follow along with your adventures. Please do rate and review the podcast. People can find our show more easily if you do. We so appreciate it. Jen, any parting words for folks as we close this one out?
Romance is awesome. Those are my parting
Romance
words.
Romance is awesome. Those are great parting words. Happy slump breaking, everybody. And as Jess would tell you, happy reading.